We started talking about banks last week, and tonight we'll talk about the incorporation aspect of it.
So if you have a non-incorporated bank, or if incorporation doesn't make a difference, we discussed three possible reasons why you might be permitted to take interest from a bank or pay interest to a bank. The first reason we mentioned was it would apply even if the bank was completely owned by Jews, and that we were saying because of the finish of Rashi that if you don't pay interest directly from the borrower to the lender, so Rashi says as much as long as you don't publicize it. We thought maybe the bank would be the same idea, since you have bank tellers and loan officers and mortgage brokers, middlemen, we should look at it maybe as the borrower is borrowing from the loan officer, who in turn is borrowing from the bank owners, and when the borrower pays the lender, he's not paying it directly to the person he borrowed from. So that was a possible heter. The person did not like that at all, because over here where you're borrowing from a shliach of the bank who's hired by the bank, it's hard to believe that they're not representing the bank, especially when there's a loan, there's a document and it says that you are borrowing from the bank. It's hard to say you're borrowing from the worker over there, you're borrowing from the bank, and the bank has owners. So that wasn't such a good heter. Then we went to say, maybe if there's a corporation where at least there's some non-Jews who are owners, so we could use the principle of Breira and say, just like when you have Meiser wine mixed into regular wine, you take out the 10%, you say this is the Meiser, it's retroactively determined that this is the part that was Meiser. The same thing when I borrow the $10,000 from the bank, it's determined that that's from the non-Jews' money, as long as there's $10,000 worth of non-Jewish money in there. So that should work. However, the Poskim said there's a difference between wine and a partnership over here, because as long as Jews have some interest in this partnership, in this bank, every dollar you borrow has some Jewish money in there. You can't say I'm only taking the non-Jews' money. They're partners here. If they were breaking the partnership, you could say somehow that I'm taking the money that was mine all along. But as long as they remain partners, you can't use the Breira principle. By the wine, there's no partnership there, and you can say, I'm now removing the Meiser from the rest of the wine, and that's okay, but you can't do that by partnerships. Finally, we said if most of the owners are non-Jews, and there are only a few Jews, now if they were all non-Jews, for sure it'd be okay. But if there are a few Jews in there, so maybe that should also be a problem because now there are partners and you're getting some Jewish money in there. However, with that we saw there's a svara that we can, from Yisrael Salanter, said the svara that we said is a din of rov. There are two ways we saw it. Shari Tzedek said, you can assume when you're taking that money is from the majority of money which is owned by the non-Jews. Even if you want to say, well, but everyone owns a certain amount, and each dollar there's some Jewish interest, but then we use it in a bittul berov, even though money doesn't become bittul. Rabbi Sosnacher said it's finished, that the ribbis prohibition is a result of the kedusha, Yisrael on the money, and even though money can't become bittul, but the kedusha could be bittul, the way others said was the isra becomes bittul, and based on that, it seems like it was a mainstream sock, that if most of the owners are non-Jews, the few Jewish owners become bottled, they become nullified in the majority of the non-Jewish owners, and here we go by the amount of money, not the amount of owners. If one owner owns half the bank, that's, you go by him. You go, the people that have the most money in the bank are non-Jews, so then you can borrow from that bank and lend to that bank. Rav Moshe was quoted as saying, once you're using this far of bittul, that only works if the minority owners don't have any say. As soon as the minority owners have some say, even though they only own a minority, you can't say they're bottled, because before they make any big deals, they consult this person, so he would be considered an owner in that case. So therefore we said in the case of a bank where there's a, I think he said 10%, that there's a percent that the Jews have a say in the running of the corporation, so that's called a Jewish, partially Jewish bank, and the heter would not apply to borrow from them or to lend to them. So tonight we're going to talk about the results of what happens if the bank is not only owned by non-Jews, let's say it's even owned by Jews, but let's say it's incorporated. Will the fact that the bank is incorporated make a difference? That is tonight's topic.
So if you recall,
a few months ago we spoke about bankruptcy. And we saw from this Mishnah, we'll see again in Gittin, that there is such an idea of bankruptcy when you're dealing with a corporation. If you're a private person, there's nowhere in halacha that you could just say, I'm not paying my loan, I'm bankrupt. We said it's a pshara, you know, work as a pshara, is it, even if it's a pshara, you have to have your agreement agree, and he could always be chozer later. But if it's a corporation, we said there was a din called an apotiki. If you set aside that the payment should only be from this certain property that I have, that's the way you set it up. And that property gets destroyed. You no longer have any obligation to pay from anything of your own personal property. So that's pretty much like a corporation. I'm saying, look, you're borrowing money from me. Let's say I borrowed money from you. We talked about what we said then. I borrowed money from you. And I'm saying my house is the only thing that you're allowed to take. That's my business is the only thing you have any right to take because I'm incorporated. I have limited liability, right? In British law, it's called limited. In Hebrew, it's be'erova mugmal, limited responsibility. So, the halacha is, if that's the deal you made, you lent me the money knowing that you could only collect from a certain part of my property, and that property gets ruined, not because of any fault of my own. So then the halacha is that I'm potter. You made the deal, and this is the way it was. You knew that I was a limited corporation, and you lent the corporation, so I'm personally not responsible to pay. So the question is, how that will work with Hilchos Ribis. So let's just see this Mishnah again with a Gemara that we did not see at that time. So the Mishnah Gittin on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph says like this. Hamal v'mov. If someone lends money as HaKohen v'as HaLevi v'as HaOni to a Kohen, to a Levi, or to a poor person, and instead of saying, I'm lending you the $1,000, I want $1,000 back, and I have a lien over all of your property, like a typical case of a loan, he said, I'm going to limit myself to what I collect from. You're a Kohen, and I have a farm, and I, every year, have to take up Truma. So instead of me taking the Truma and giving it to you, I'm going to keep it for myself because I have something I can do with it. I can't eat it from Yisrael, but I'm going to take off my truma, and instead of you paying me back, I'm going to keep the truma until I get up to that level. So, as a coin that's laying me as mafishalim mechelkon, that I'm going to separate from my crop the portions that I would normally give you, and I'm going to take it against the loan. So the Mishnah is worried about not a Chosh and Mishra issue, the Mishnah is worried about a Zeroyim issue. Am I allowed to do that? Because maybe when my plants grow, my crops grow, and I made this deal in the winter, and now I'm harvesting it in the summer, maybe they're not around anymore. And if there's no Kohen there for me to give it to, I haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Truma. So the Mishnah says you don't have to worry about that. Mafish and Cheska Shein Kayonin, you can separate the portions, assuming that they're still alive. You don't have to worry that maybe the Kohen or the Levi died, or the poor person became wealthy and no longer eligible for the Mais or Ani. You could assume the status quo remains as it was all along, and you don't have to worry about things changing. That's what the Mishnah talks about. Now, the Braisa, the Gemara has a Braisa that gets into Chosh and Mishpat Yerodei Shabbos. The Mishnah, the Braisa first of all, says a few halachas. Then it continues and says, Posik al iman kishar hazol. If you want, you can say, look, I'm lending you $100, I'm lending you $1,000, and you can pay me back with the produce that is going to be my truma, and I'm going to make a cheaper price on it. That's one thing you could do. That's not really us, the way Rashi learns. Then, ein bo mishum ribis. Furthermore, there should be a ribis problem because we're going to see tonight, we'll see as the series progresses, that normally if I'm selling you something that I don't have right now, I'm selling it to you and I don't have it now, and you're giving me money. So that's almost like a loan because you're giving me money and I don't have anything to sell you. I don't have the crops to sell you yet. But you're giving me money anyway. So that's normally also because whatever price we make, might end up that the fruits might, the produce might be worth more eventually at the time than they finally grow. And when you gave me the $1,000 for this future price, for this future produce, and then the produce is worth more later on, it's worth $1,200 later on, it ended up you gave me $1,000 in December and I gave you $1,200 of produce in June, that's rivis. So normally you can't do that. But over here, in this case, I lent you $1,000, I lent the Cohen $1,000, and I'm giving him my produce, my truma, as my truma is going to be his payment to me. The truma that I would normally give him is going to be my payment. That might be worth more than the value of the loan. Still, the Brisa says there's no problem with ribis. And finally, it says, Ein Shviz Misham. Tosa, that you don't, Shemitah doesn't cancel such a loan. Let's focus on the ribis part. The Gemara asks, my time, why isn't there a ribis issue here? So the Gemara says like this, Kevin dechi lesle. Since, what happens if there's no truma? Suppose my field doesn't grow, the lender's field doesn't grow anything that year. So I said I gave you $1,000, and what's my payment going to be? The truma. But there's no truma. So what happens then? Can I collect from you the borrower? No, because the deal was that I'm only collecting from, the deal is I only collect from my truma. I don't collect from what you have. So kim dechin leslei. Since if there is no truma, lo yoivle, the Kohen doesn't have to give anything to repay the loan because it was set aside, the payment was set aside only with, there was a limited responsibility over here, only on this truma, on this field. Ki islay nami, even when there is some truma in ma'isa, ain't ba mishum ribis, there's no iser of ribis involved. Right, that's what the Braisa says. It seems from here, what the Braisa is saying is that whenever there's a limited liability, the liability is only limited to a certain product, that if that product is not there, the borrower will not have to pay. So there's no issue of ribis in such a case. That's what the price is saying. What's the svara? The svara will be like this. Moshe says such a svara that whenever you lend someone money, there's two liens really that you have against them. In the normal case, I have a lien against your property. I lend you $1,000. I have a lien against all your property for $1,000. But more than that, I have a lien on you. It's called the Shibud HaGuf and the Shibud Mammon. I have a lien on your property, your Mammon, and I have a lien on you. There's a Shibud on your body, on your person. And that's a normal case of a loan. And Rav Moshe says that's when there is a prohibition against ribis. I'm not allowed to Yashir HaChicha. I can't take a bite from my brother. If I have a lien on him, on his person, that's when there's a prohibition of ribis. But if there's nothing I could take from him, he's exempt from any liability. It's just on some of his property. So in that case, the ribis prohibition does not apply. Right, that is what Rav Moshe says. Now, it only works in this direction, he says. If it's the other way around, if a corporation is borrowing from you, in other words, if you have a credit card, and they're borrowing from you, and you have to pay them interest, I'm sorry, you're borrowing from them, if they're borrowing from you, they're the borrowers, like you have a savings account, so that's when this svara applies. They, the borrowers, I, the lender, don't have any lien on their bodies. It's a limited liability. I don't have any lien on their person. It's just on their property. So that's why I can take ribis. If I have a savings account, I can take interest from the savings account. If they want to give a free gift, they can give a free gift because that's part of this limited liability. But if I want to borrow from them, I have a credit card, I want to take out a mortgage and pay them interest, so then the ribis prohibition applies because they are taking a bite from me. They might not be a person, but it doesn't make a difference that they're partners in this, and even or they are partners, and even though they don't, the fact that there's nothing to talk about. Right? I'm borrowing from these partners. They might have limited liability, but that doesn't make a difference. I have full liability. They have a shibud on my property, and therefore, I would have to pay them. So that's where Moshe's psak, that if you have a corporation, if you have the bank is incorporated, I could put a savings account there because they're giving me interest. I'm lending them my money when I put the money in. They don't owe me any money from their personal property. They only owe it from this bank property. as limited liability. I have no lien on their bodies, so therefore they can pay me interest. For me to pay them interest, there's no hetcher, because they're partners. The fact that they have limited liability doesn't make a difference. I owe them money right now. And they have a lien over me, all these partners of the bank have a lien over me, and I'm certainly not allowed to pay them interest. That would be ribis d'oraisa, the way Rav Moshe says it. That's just the beginning. Now the Marshag uses this Gemara as a source to be matir the ribis of incorporation. But one thing, we're only talking to receive interest from a corporation. And he says from this far, because since the fields got ruined, there was no crop that year, you wouldn't be able to, Cohen would not have to pay anything, the poor person would not have to pay anything if he got rich, he wasn't receiving any maaser ani, the liability is limited. So he says there's no shibud on their bodies, and that's why there's no Cohen. We'll just read the words in the Marshag. Kemadim yishtadvu asodos. Since if the field got ruined, lo yoyivle, the Kohen would not have to pay anything. V'chein yashir ha'ani, if the poor person became wealthy, lo yuchel lekabel ma'aser ani, then he wouldn't be able to receive any ma'aser ani. Gam kein ein tzarich l'shalom, he wouldn't have to pay. Nimtza de'ein kan shivron ha'guf klal, there's no lien on the body of the lova. In kein lo avichov klal, it's not called a debt. Ve'ein kan alo, it's not even called a loan. That's what the Marshag said. Other Toskim disagree with him based on the kasha that Tosfos has. Tosfos has a kasha that the Gemara and Tosfos Gittin has a kasha that this halacha and Gittin doesn't make sense, because there's another Gemara about Mitzia which seems to be a similar halacha with a different halacha. Gemara talks about Pardesa. Pardesa is a vineyard, and what happened over here was, I have a vineyard, and similar case, and you're giving me money now, even though the grapes aren't ripe yet, but you're giving me $1,000 now for future interest in the grapes that are going to grow. So are you allowed to do that? Rav says you're not allowed to do it. Shmuel says it's okay. Rav says it's also came into the Kami Shavyat today. Since in the future it might be these 100 pounds of grapes might be worth more than $1,000, in the future, it's chaski ke agar notarle. It looks like you're giving me reward for holding the money. You gave me the money in advance. I'm giving you more than $1,000 of grapes. That looks like ribis. And Shmuel says the other way. Kima davi be to you. It could be that the crop will be ruined. Lamesi ke agar notarle. It doesn't look like you're giving me extra payment for that holding the money. And we pass them like Rav, the Shulchan Aruch Yerodeav. Kufayin Gimel, to test pasim like Rav, that a part it's usher to make such a deal. That's ribis, the Rabbanan. So Tosfos asks the kasha, how come in this case I can make a deal with the Kohen? I can lend the Kohen $1,000 based on the future interest I'm going to get from the truma that I separate, or from the maaser honey that I'm going to separate by an honey. That I can do. There's no ribis problem. But to give an advance payment for the vineyard, I can't, because it might be worth more at the time the crops grow. Why don't we say the same thing about the truma? The truma might be worth more than $1,000 by the time they grow, and I'll be getting more money than I lent out. Why isn't there a ribis problem? That's the kasha Tosfos asks. And Tosfos says, you're right. Really, the halacha is that is a ribis issue by the Kohen. They made a takana that we want to make it easy for Kohanim to borrow money. They made a special takana. It's only ribis Rabbanan, and the Chachamim said by a Kohen will allow you to make such a deal. But that's close as an answer. But from this we see that this hector that we have over here in Gittin is very limited. It's only a special takana for a Kohen. When it comes to Hilchos ribis, in normal case of you and your friend corporations making loans, we see from the case of the parties from the vineyard that you can't make, even though they're also, the liability is limited just to the vineyard. I'm lending you $1,000, and in return I want a thousand pounds of grapes that are going to grow in your vineyard. So they might end up being worth $1,200 if the grapes become more than a dollar a pound. But on the other hand, suppose that your vineyard gets ruined, it gets washed out, it gets eaten up by
cicadas.
So what's going to happen then? How much do you have to pay me? You don't have to pay me anything. Right? Your liability is limited to your vineyard. But even though the liability is limited to the vineyard, still we say that's Ruvus Rabbanan, because it looks like, right, Shmuel says, not because of that reason, but we cross like Rav, that says it looks like Ruvus, because I gave you the $1,000 in advance, and I might get more grapes. Those grapes are going to be, might be worth more than $1,000, and that's called Ruvus.
Why don't you just reduce the number of grapes?
He doesn't want to do that.
He
wants to make sure he gets 1,000 pounds of grapes.
So
he's buying, in such real case, he's buying them. I want to buy 1,000 pounds of grapes. I don't want to pay you in advance to lock in this price. We're going to talk more about purchases later. But that's what I want to do. I want to lock in 1,000 pounds at this price.
So it's the quantity.
Right. I'm buying 1,000 pounds, and it might be worth more at the end. That's why it might be ribbons. That's why it's domestic ribbons, and it's us to make such a deal. So that's what the Mincha Shlomo asked his kasha, Shlomo Zalman asked his kasha, that you can't, the Marshad, how can you bring a raya from this case of the Kohen? The Kohen is only particular to this, the satafana they made by the Kohen, but normally if you buy something in advance, and you might end up getting more money at the end, that's also, even though the liability of the borrower is limited to one part of his property. That's the kasha here. So the Marshag answers that kasha. He didn't see it was Shlomo Zalman, but he answers that kasha anyway, because he has a different teret to the contradiction from the Paradeta. Based on another Tosus, he says there's a difference between the case of the Paradeta and the case of the Kohen. Because in the case of the Paradeta, there was a problem with this sale over here. I was selling something that's not here. I was selling a Dover Shalabal Olam. I was selling something that's not in existence yet. And the rule is, if I sell you something that's not here yet, if either party wants to change his mind, they're allowed to, because no kinyan took place. You can't have a kinyan on something that's not here yet. So if either party wants to change their mind, you're allowed to. Now what would happen in the case of I spent $1,000 for 1,000 pounds of grapes, and I see that the cicadas are attacking the vineyard, and it does not likely they're going to be in good grapes over here. So then the halacha is, I can change my mind. I can say the deal's off. Now, since I could do that, that gives the seller, who in this case is the borrower, would-be borrower, that gives him some personal liability here, some personal stake in the matter. Since I could change my mind and demand my money back, so the liability no longer is just limited to the archer. To the vineyard, the liability is also that I may lose the whole money. If he sees that, if he wants to change his mind, he could just ask for his money back and I lose it, which is not the case by the typical loan. When there's a loan, by the case of the Kohen, you're lending the money to the Kohen, and his liability is limited to a certain amount of his property. Suppose the lender sees that my crop is turning out poorly that year, and I tell the Kohen, deal's off. I don't want it because I see I'm not going to have enough truma to make up for the money I lent you. He said, I'm sorry, you lent me the money. My liability is limited to that crop, and whatever you get, you get. Whatever you don't, you don't. So that's what the Marashat says. That answers the kasha. That's why the Mishnah says it's no problem, the Brisa says it's no problem of ribbis in the case of the Kohen, because his liability is completely limited to that property. And we learn from there that when the liability is limited, there's no problem of ribbis, which is not the case by the Paradeta, where there wasn't really a limited liability. It was, you could cancel the deal, and I lose the whole $1,000. I have to give it back to you, and I don't get anything in return. So that's why over there it was Aser. So that's what the Marashat defends himself. Mincha Shlomo, Minchas Yitzchak writes that that this tshuva wasn't printed while the Marashat was alive. The Marashat wrote another tshuva where, using this argument, he wants to say it's only up to the Rabbanan. This later tshuva was printed in some journal, Noam, and then it was printed later in a later Chavetz, so he wants to say that you can't bring any proof, but we're just saying the Svara. The Svara sounds like a good Svara. There's another proof that the Marashah gave to his halacha. And the problem was, it was a proof that it's only up to the Rabbanan, but it seems to leave you with an Isidra Abanan, and he had to deal with that there's a rush that the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Siman Same Siman Kufayin Gimel Sif Yudches, one of the first side of the handout. The Rivash had a shayla like this. There was someone going, taking a boat, a merchant taking a boat overseas, and he wanted to borrow money from me for his trip. So I gave him 20 dinners. I gave him 20 dinners to take on his trip. And I said like this: when you come back, if you come back, you have to give me 24 dinners. Because I'm taking a risk here. What's my risk? That if something happens to the boat along the way, I won't be able to collect anything. Right? I'm leaving my liability to the boat. Only the boat I'm going to collect from your boat. If the boat sinks, you lose the boat, I won't collect anything. But if you come back, so then I'm going to collect the full 24 dinarim. So the Yivash said, that's Aser. And the Mepharshim say it's only Aser Midrabanan. Why is that? Because in a way it's like an insurance policy. In a way it's like insurance. I'm lending you $20. I want you to give me back $20. But also I want you to pay me $4 insurance that will mean that if your boat gets lost, you can keep the $20. But that's why it's only the abundance. Like extra because of that risk that I'm taking. So the Marshaga first wanted to say, you see from there, it's also like a limited liability. My liability, the merchant's liability, is limited to the boat coming back. If the boat sinks, he's potter. So it seems also there's no shibud on his body, there's no lien on his body. But nevertheless, it's usher midrabanan. So my shag said, no, by the boat, it's worse than a typical case of a loan. Because if he does come back, if the boat doesn't sink, so now it becomes a regular loan. It's that I lent you $20 and you're giving me back $24. Even though the liability is based on the boat coming back, but it's really like a tenai, it's a stipulation that if the boat comes back, so then I have a lien on yourself. Since the boat might not come back, so that's why it's not Ribbis D'Oraisa. But since if the boat does come back, I can collect from any property you have, so that makes it Aser Midrabanan. But the Marshak says, in a typical case of a corporation lending to a bank, where the bank is, or the liability is always limited to the bank. If the bank runs out of money, the bank goes bankrupt, so then I don't get any money back at all. So therefore, if I lend money to the bank in the form of a savings account, the bank is allowed to give me interest because, once again, their liability is limited to the property of the corporation. Not, the owners don't have any, they're not exposed themselves to any liability. It's all limited to the corporation. And he continues with his heart to say that it will be completely mutter. The Chalkos Yaakov says there's no raya from there. Chalkos Yaakov brings this marshak. He says there's no raya from there because, like we said, it could be that a bank is worse than a boat. Because by the boat, why do we say it's only drabanan? There's only drabanan because we're saying it's like a sort of insurance policy. I'm putting my money at risk. I'm giving you $20 and the boat might sink and then I lose everything. So because I'm putting my money at risk, so I'm allowed to midrabanan, at least I'm allowed to ask you for $24 back, $4 extra because of the risk. It's also midrabanan, but at least there's no issur d'oraisa there. Well, when you give the money to the bank, hopefully, you know, it wasn't like that a few years ago, but in normal cases, if you give money to a bank, when you're asking for the interest, it's not because, look, I'm putting my money at risk over here, and that's why I want to get 5% interest from you. It's the opposite. I'm putting the money in the bank because it's safer in the bank than it is at home. Why am I getting the interest? It's because I'm lending you the money. And you know, you're using my money, and you're making 10% off people. I want you to give me 5%. Right? So, the Chalkos Yaakov says, from the to be the boat halacha should teach us that the incorporation should even be worse. A bank should be worse. That by the boat, it's also midrabanan. It's only also midrabanan because I put my money at risk, and the extra money I'm getting is because of that insurance policy. But when you're putting money in the bank, you don't have such a svara. All you have is that your money is as safe as it could be anywhere, and you're lending it to them. And because you don't have the money, that's why you're getting the extra. So he knows that it would not be any proof from there either. And so these are the pros and cons of this halacha, that ribis might only apply when I have a lien on you as a person. If I don't have a lien on you as a person, my lien is limited to your property or some of your property, so then the ribis halachas don't apply. But that's the way my shag understands from the halacha of the Kohen. That's the way he understands it from the case of the boat. The other Achronim disagree, and they say the case of a Kohen is just a takana, like Tosu said. The case of the boat is only much because it's an insurance policy. You're not getting, there are other issues that make it mutter there. But you don't see, you might make it not the Raisa, not an Isra Raisa, but you don't see that it's mutter. However, Ramosha does paskin this far, that since it's there's no shibur on the person himself, it's only on the money, so that's no iser of ribis anymore. But as we said, it only works one way. It only works by a savings account. I can receive interest from the bank, I can receive presents from the bank, but it will not help me pay interest to the bank, because the bank is owned by people, as we said last week, and as long as there's a Jewish interest involved there, certainly if it's a majority of Jews, but even if there's a Jewish interest involved there, we don't take Zvotel Baro, and that's why I can't take a mortgage from a bank where there is significant Jewish interest, or I can't use a credit card and pay interest on a credit card to a bank that has significant Jewish interest, because even though they have limited liability, it doesn't make any difference here. I have full liability. I have to pay you partners, you, even if it's a million of your partners out there, and there's no heter, no reason to say that I shouldn't have to pay you. Right, that's the way Rav Moshe concludes. However, there's one last issue that might help, even in both directions. And there's an interesting tshuva from the Rogatchover, Tzokmas Paneach Kukei Dalin. He wants to say, and this I think is the way it is in secular law, at least here in America, that a corporation is not really owned by people. A corporation is like a separate entity. It's, no one owns it. It's a independent entity with no owners. I mean, is that the way they look at it? I think that's the way the secular looks at it. And that's what he says. He says in Russian, a bank lo nikra dover mesuyam. It's not called a real item. Rak dover shal tsura. It's like, it has a form, lo chomer, but no content.
Legal fiction.
So legal fiction. That's what he's saying. It's there's no ownership anymore. So once there's no ownership, so then it could work in both directions. The only issue of ribis applies to borrowing from someone and paying that person back interest, but in either direction, if the person you're paying to isn't a person, or the person borrowing, the one borrowing is not a person, or if it's in a corporation borrowing, it's a bank borrowing money in the form of a savings account, so you could take interest from them because it's not a person you're receiving interest from. If you want to get a mortgage from a bank, you're not paying them, you're not paying a person interest, so it's mutter. You're not paying, there's no person there, it's just an entity. It's a legal entity without people. So based on this Tzoknas Paneach, it should be mutter in both directions. The Chalkas Yaakov brings that Svara, and he says it might be enough to make it only Nisid Rabban, and he doesn't think it should be enough to make it mutter. Now, Diane Weiss in Michos Yitzchok, he has a longer Rechus, and he says it's no such thing like that. A corporation is owned by people. All they're doing is they're limiting their liability. It's not like you're creating some new thing. It's owned by people, and they're responsible. They talk maybe if it's owned by shareholders that don't have any voting rights, and the people that own it don't have any shares in it, so it could be made to be such a way. But in most cases, he concludes in all cases, as long as they're shareholders, they own the bank. Whether there are a lot of them or a few of them, they own it. Their liability might limit it to the bank, but you can't say there's no people involved. There might be a lot of people. It's a lot of people, but they are the owners of the bank.
Well, conceivable then that every single bank in the country is owned by some of that people. I mean, everybody in this room has mutual funds that own bank stock.
Right, so you can... it's conceivable that every bank has some Jew, it could be any Jew, has some ownership in there, but as long as he doesn't have a say, so then he's Baltel Barov.
Right.
But that's what you go back to last week's Svara. That's okay as long as they're Baltel Barov. Right, that's what we mean in the last week's year. So, So anyway, that's what he wants to say. The toughness finance. The Rogatchev wants to say it's much in both directions. Diane Weiss says we don't to this whole shalshelis of truths that we spoke about last week and this week. We don't see anyone other than the Rogatchev saying such a story that the corporation should be like a separate entity, a legal entity that has no people. We can't deal with that. They do have people, and there are owners there. You know, we spoke about it when we spoke the first time. If you know, I have a business of selling oxen. That's my business, and when it's that's my corporation, and my whatever loans I take are limited to those oxen to that business. So of course, if the oxen all die, so I don't have to pay back. Now, what happens if the ox goes and lures someone, and kills someone, or hurts someone? So we're going to say, well, it's limited liability. You can't. No, it's my ox. I'm responsible to watch it. I'm just saying, if I borrow money from you, my liability is limited to these oxen. It's not doesn't go to my person. That's what I'm saying. But I own the corporation. I'm the balabas here. So that's the partial way to understand the way a corporation works. So that's why it won't help this far to say you can even take a mortgage from a Jewish bank, because then you will be paying these people interest, and you can't say, well, there are no people there. It's not called people. The Svara, though, does work partially. And that this Bris Yehuda says, and Bris Yehuda both says, that if you're talking about a government, suppose the government takes a loan. If the government takes a loan, like a bond, right, they're borrowing money from me, I take an Israeli bond, a Jewish government, and they pay me interest. So in that case, who owns the government? Right, it's hard to say that all the people own the government. The government does seem to be some fictional entity.
Whoever's bribing
it. It's all fiction. And so there they want to say, Hector to take to receive interest from a bond, because it's an entity. It's not there are no people involved there. It's not that all the citizens of Israel each own 1/6 millionth of the country, of the treasury. Because that would they owe that money also. They don't want any parts of it either side. And based on that also, even though not everyone agrees with this, the Torah service says from Tzitzas Frank, a lot of times people become olim. And they get special rates of interest rates, which is a regular case of a mortgage. So you want to pay a mortgage to the Israeli government, because they get subsidized a mortgage, and they're not doing it through a bank. It's directly from the government, so that will be okay. Even though the incorporation as far as doesn't apply, right? The fact that they're incorporated wouldn't help over there, because I'm a person and there is a shivut on me. I have a full lien over here. But in that respect, I'm paying the government. A government doesn't have, there's no people there. There's no, it's an entity. So it could be that there will be no ribbis prohibition against paying that entity, paying interest, a mortgage payment to the state of Israel, to another Jewish, that's the only one we have right now, a state owned by Jews. So summarizing what we've had the last 2 weeks, when we want to put a savings account in a bank, right, we want to receive interest from a bank, so we have to be careful. If the bank's not incorporated, it will only work if most of the shareholders or all of them are non-Jews, and whatever Jews are there don't have any interest in it, don't have any say in it, they don't have any say. So in that case, I can receive interest from the bank, even though they're all partners, there might be Jewish money involved here, but it's both a borough, and I could receive interest in such a case. In the same way, I could pay interest in such a case, as long as there is no Jewish say in running the bank. In a case where there is Jewish say in running the bank, or it is a fully Jewish bank, so then the only hedger we can use is if there's an incorporation, if it's incorporated. If it's incorporated, so then we have the Svara Ramosha, which the Marshag strongly held, that an incorporation, when there's limited liability, there's no lien on the people. The liability is limited, the Shiva is limited to some of their property, and in such a case, the Ribbis Halachas don't apply, at least at the Rabbanan level, and according to Ramosha, they don't even apply at the even after it's not, there's no even after Rabbanan buy it. It's mutter completely to lend money to a incorporation and receive interest from them to have a savings account there, because there's no one that, there's no lien on the people that are paying the money. They have to pay from that property, the limited corporation, they have to pay, but they're not paying from their own selves. So the Ribbit prohibition doesn't apply in such a case. This does not help to take a mortgage from such a bank, because in that case you are a regular person who has that, they have a lien on you, and their corporation is considered partners. We don't look at it as a non-entity, as non-people. We look at it as these are people who have limited liability, but they're people that you are paying to, and therefore you'll be violating the ribbis halacha by giving them ribbis, at least the rabban, and maybe the ariser, or much not even the ariser. You're paying interest to these millions of people that own shares, assuming they're Jews. So it'll be aser. Once again, if they're mostly non-Jews and there's only a few Jews there that have no say, so then it's okay. We go back to that. In the case of government, there seem to be a heter that as long as there's no one, it's not a dictatorship, it's a regular government, that there's no one owns the money. So in that case, it could be that it worked in both directions, because then we have the heter that I'm not borrowing from anyone, I'm not lending anyone, there's no one here, it's just an entity, and the Ribbis Halachos don't apply to an entity, they only apply to people, and
a government is not people. So once again, nowadays almost everything is incorporated, so if you want to put money in and take interest from a savings account, according to Ramosha, the Marshag, whatever bank you want, you don't have to check in to see if it's Jewish or not. There are those that are Machmir, that they might be Asir Rabbanan, and they want to get a Heter Iska. If you want to pay interest to a bank, you want to take a mortgage from a bank or pay a credit card, then this Heter of incorporation doesn't apply at all, and the only way it'll be mutter is based on last week's year. It'll have to be where most of the owners of the bank are non-Jews, and the minority of Jewish owners do not have any say in running the bank, and then it will be permitted.